Of caution. This episode contains depictions of murder that may be disturbing and triggering to some listeners. Please take caution when listening. A young man tells his family he's going on vacation with his boyfriend and then fails to contact them ever again. A relative believes he may have been scared of his partner, but is there any evidence to finally bring a case against the main suspect? A kind-hearted young woman who is intellectually disabled heads out for a night with two friends right as the COVID-19 pandemic is beginning to spread. But what she is subjected to is like something out of a horror movie, and one suspect is still out on bond. A man heads out to celebrate his birthday, having recently moved back to North Carolina from out of state. But when he fails to show up for his new job, his family knows something is wrong. Why was his car found more than 30 miles away, and what has happened to him? Authorities are also looking for answers in the case of a young woman whose remains were found more than a year after she went missing, and we have an update on the status of the Trails Carolina Teen Wilderness Therapy Camp after a 12-year-old died there in February of this year. There is much to love about North and South Carolina, but the two states have also had their fair share of violent and senseless crimes over the years. From murders on the Blue Ridge Parkway, in the heart of big cities or sleepy college towns, and along the coastal waters, some of these stories may be new to you. Some may have happened in your town. Some may involve people that are still missing to this day. But all will leave you remembering to always be vigilant about the people you meet and the places you go. I'm Renee Robertson. Please join me for Missing in the Carolinas. Episode 92. Brian Neil Hooks and Andy Tench Missing and the Murder of Mary Collins. In September of 1988, 21-year-old Brian Neil Hooks went missing from the Florence area of South Carolina. According to an article that ran in the Florence Morning News, his sister, Amy Turner, said Hooks had gone by their parents' house and said that he and his live-in boyfriend were going to the beach for the weekend. He said he'd call them when he got back. They never saw him again. According to the facts shared on the Doe Network website, Hooks' cousin saw him at a club that night. Hooks asked his cousin if he could spend the night at his place, but because this relative had just moved and hadn't unpacked yet, there wasn't a place for Hooks to sleep. Later that night, a roommate of that cousin shared that Hooks was scared and thought his boyfriend was going to hurt him. Turner said she called Hooks' house and asked to speak with him, but a roommate living in the home said there was no one there by the name of Neil and hung up. She called back and asked to speak to her brother's boyfriend. He said Hooks had run off and hadn't told anyone where he was going. Turner and her family knew that didn't sound like Hooks. He had always kept in touch with their mother and wouldn't have ceased all communication that way. They went to the Florence County Sheriff's Department to file a missing persons report. An investigator there worked the case until the leads went cold. He had suspected foul play and even identified a person of interest in the case, Hooks' boyfriend at the time, but was unable to collect any concrete evidence about the whereabouts of Brian Neil Hooks. In 2011, Hooks' father passed away, and his daughter made a promise to him that she would continue searching for her brother. She reached out to the sheriff's department to see if they would take another look at the case. Lieutenant Glenn Kirby took over the case and began re-interviewing people, including some who were in jail with the person of interest at one point. He said in the early 2000s, they had received information that Hooks' remains might be buried near Willow Creek Road, which was where Hooks had last resided. They searched and excavated an area, but were unable to find any evidence. The family of Hooks have come to terms with the fact that he is likely dead, but they still want closure. His sister told the Florence Morning News, "This has been really, really hard, not knowing anything all these years. We want his remains. We want to give him a proper burial and have a place where we can go and talk to him and feel close to him. We want him home." At the time he went missing, Brian Neil Hooks stood about 5 feet 7 inches tall and weighed around 140 pounds. He was possibly wearing a t-shirt and jeans. He had sandy hair and blue eyes. He had a scar on his left wrist and a tattoo of a cross on his left shoulder. His front teeth were in bad shape and had started to decay. Anyone with information on this case is asked to call the Florence County Sheriff's Office at 843-665-665. 2121 or the State Crime Stoppers hotline at 888-274-6372. Next, I want to talk about the case of Mary Collins, who was murdered in Charlotte in late March of 2020 for several different reasons. One, I don't think this case has received a lot of media coverage, in part because it occurred right as the world was shutting down due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I also feel this needs to be discussed, as disturbing as the details are, because the victim was intellectually disabled and one of the people involved in her death is still out on bond. 20-year-old Mary Collins was born with 22q deletion syndrome, also known as DeGeorge syndrome. This genetic condition can cause heart defects and poor immune system function, along with delayed development and behavioral and emotional problems. She was raised by her grandmother, Mia Alderman, in Charlotte. Alderman told local media outlets that her granddaughter had a severe speech impediment and the mentality of a 14 or 15-year-old. Later on in court, she would also explain that Collins was vulnerable because she desperately wanted friends and was self-conscious because of her disability. A segment that ran on news station WCNC said Collins had problems completing simple tasks like counting change or navigating through her neighborhood. On March 28, 2020, Kelly Lavery, age 24, and Lavie Pham, age 23, arranged for an Uber to pick up Collins and bring her to an apartment in the NoDa area of Charlotte where the couple lived. Collins had briefly dated Pham at one point when they were friends in high school, and she was living with her grandmother when she left to visit the couple. Collins's family thought she was simply going to spend the evening with friends, but she never returned. Lavery and Pham posted videos of themselves on social media with Collins as they picked up takeout sushi and headed back to their apartment. Prosecutors later alleged that Lavery and Pham drugged Collins with Xanax, put her in a bathtub, and brutally cut and stabbed her more than 133 times. The motive? Apparently, Collins had refused to have a threesome with the couple previously, and they were angry with her. But Collins's aunt also told the media she had seen Lavery bully Collins on social media before, writing comments about how ugly she thought the young woman was. In Collins's opinion, Lavery was what she called a mean girl and wanted to see Collins suffer. A third person, 22-year-old James Jimmy Salerno, was also present during the murder, as phone records placed him in the apartment within the time frame that Collins was murdered. Soon, there was a fourth person, 18-year-old America Deal, who was called in to help with crime scene cleanup. Salerno had met the young woman on Tinder and asked her to assist in cleaning the bathroom. A list of cleaning supplies was later found in the Notes app on his phone. Lavery and Pham used saran wrap and duct tape to wrap up Collins's body after she was dead and attempted to mask the odor with dish liquid and shower gel. Then they cut open a mattress and put her body inside, planning to dispose of it outside the apartment later. By then, Mary Collins's family had reported her missing, and they gave police the address of the apartment she'd been planning to visit, as it was the last known location for her phone. Around the same time, Salerno told someone about what had occurred in the apartment. This witness went to the police and reported the details. Officers visited Lavery and Pham's apartment, but they claimed they didn't know where she was. The police had permission to walk through the apartment, but because they didn't have a search warrant, they only did a cursory search and found nothing suspicious. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department put out a missing persons bulletin for Mary Collins on April 3, 2020, and returned to Lavery and Pham's apartment for a more thorough search after the witness called them back and said the body was still there. That's when they discovered the body of Mary Collins hidden inside the mattress. In June 2022, Kelly Lavery pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and kidnapping charges and an additional 60 to 84 months on the concealment charge. Lavie Pham has pleaded not guilty to the same charges and is still awaiting trial. Jimmy Salerno pleaded not guilty to murder, concealing a death, and kidnapping. He was held without bond for nearly 3 years, but on January 13, 2023, he had bond set at $250,000 and was released. He is allegedly staying with his parents, which was a stipulation of his release. America Deal was charged with accessory after the fact and concealing a death and released on a $100,000 bond. The family of Mary Collins was appalled that a person involved in this gruesome murder would be allowed to walk out of jail and remain free. They have founded an advocacy group called Mary's Voice, a group they started in the hopes to be a voice for the voiceless and work to improve public safety for those with disabilities. You can learn more at justiceformarysantina.com. Before we continue, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Are you looking to level up your writing or learn a new skill? Whether you focus on nonfiction or are more inclined to creative writing, or want to learn how to put together a digital portfolio of your writing, WOW Women on Writing can help. Interested in podcasting? Check out a digital course I created called You Can Start a Podcast. During this pre-recorded webinar, you will learn the benefits of creating your own podcast, materials you need to get started, how to develop content that will keep listeners coming back for more, and ways your podcast can create supplemental income. I'll share examples of different types of podcasts, how to decide on a format, ways to handle the technology necessary for creating a podcast, how to develop your first few episodes, promotion and monetization ideas, and ways you can repurpose your podcast content. All written materials and resources are provided by me. I'll also give you a handout with information discussed in the webinar, along with suggestions for a few different types of podcasts to explore. Best of all, this webinar only costs $30. You can find it by going to wow-womenonwriting.com and clicking on the Classroom tab. I'll also post a link in the show notes. I have a question for you. Do you use a pre-cleanse oil as part of your daily skincare routine? I didn't until a few years ago when I decided to try out the products by SkinX Aaron, and I swear it has made a world of difference on the appearance of my skin. The pre-cleanse oil is the best way, in my opinion, to thoroughly melt away excess makeup, sunscreen, environmental pollutants, and residual product buildup from your skin without stripping. I use their pre-cleanse oil every morning and night, followed by my daily cleanser for fresh skin. I combine it with the hydrating beauty oil and perfecting night oil each day, and I swear my skin looks at least 10 years younger. Go ahead and treat yourself with 10% off your order using my code MissingCarolinas10. I'll include a link in the show notes for you. And now, let's get back to the show. 31-year-old Andy Tinch, who lives in Belmont, North Carolina, has not been seen since March 24th, and his family is concerned for his safety. That Sunday was Tinch's birthday, and according to a news report that ran locally on WSOC-TV, he had asked his mom, Tracy Blanton, to go with him to a local pool hall to celebrate. But it was late, and she was tired, so she declined the invitation. He never returned home and failed to make it into work the next day. Blanton tried to call his cell phone, but he didn't answer. Eventually, it began going straight to voicemail instead of ringing. On Monday, March 25th, around 10:30 p.m., police found his car, a 2010 gold Hyundai Elantra on Highway 74 near Bonanza Road, which is more than 35 miles away from his family's home. It was spotted again around 3 a.m. on March 26th near Gray Fox Road, also in the Monroe area. The blinkers on the car were flashing, but his keys, wallet, and phone were not in the car or surrounding area. When his sister checked out the car at a local towing company, she said she felt someone else had been in the car based on how far back the driver's seat was. She also knew her brother would not have abandoned it on his own. There were two receipts inside the car for purchases made that Monday morning. Tinch graduated in 2012 from Forest View High School. He is a Gaston County native, but had recently moved back home after living in Colorado for about 7 years. He had been working part-time at a nursing facility and was supposed to begin full-time hours when he failed to show up for work following his birthday weekend. The Gaston Gazette reported that police are currently working to obtain his phone and financial records in the hopes that they may shed light on the man's disappearance. Andy Tinch's family is asking that anyone who sees him contact them at 704-589-5896 or 704-674-8879. Another recent news item I'd like to discuss occurred in Sherrills Ford, North Carolina. According to WSOC-TV, at the end of last month, a Duke Energy worker discovered human remains about 200 yards off Highway 150 near a small creek. The local authorities were called in and the scene was processed. Dental records analyzed during the autopsy determined the remains belonged to 23-year-old Eileen Michelle Lavery. The Winston-Salem Police Department had reported her missing in March of 2023. The cause and manner of the young woman's death remains a mystery. Investigators are also working to determine why she might have been on the property at Highway 150 at the time of her death. Anyone with information about this case is asked to call the Catawba County Sheriff's Office at 828-465-8340. In episode 88, I discussed a wilderness therapy camp in Lake Toxaway, North Carolina, called Trails Carolina. Past participants have come forward alleging the program doesn't provide adequate therapy, employs unsafe practices, and did not investigate claims of sexual abuse within the camp. In 2014, a 17-year-old young man named Alex Lansing went missing from a group that was camping in the woods and was later found deceased from hypothermia. In February of this year, a 12-year-old boy died at Trails Carolina after arriving there less than 24 hours before, and his death is still being investigated. Within a week of the most recent death, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services sent a letter to Trails Carolina ordering them to stop accepting new patients. On February 16th, state officials ordered all children to be removed from Trails Carolina to ensure the health and safety of the children. There has been another update to this story that I wanted to share. On March 28th, news station WBTV reported that the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services says that its license is being revoked. NCDHHS has gone to the camp on March 21st for another inspection and found that the organization violated licensing rules for mental health, developmental disabilities, and substance abuse services. After that visit, they sent a letter to Trails Carolina that stated in part, "It has been determined that your facility's violations of the above statute endanger the health, safety, and welfare of clients in your facility. Therefore, the department intends to revoke your license." In response to this latest development, Trails Carolina released the following statement. "We were surprised and disappointed to learn of the state's intent to revoke the program's license, given the progress we've made and continue to make. More than 2,500 children and families have benefited from Trails, and we will continue cooperating with the state to satisfy their concerns so we can continue providing compassionate quality care to kids and families for whom every other treatment option has failed. We understand the situation's immense media pressure and the impact such pressure has on state agencies doing their best to serve the public and act in the best interest of children and their families. The basis for some of the state's conclusions are unclear, since it indicates policies it had approved and in some cases helped create are non-compliant. We have always valued our good working relationship with the state and hope to focus on what matters most, providing our students with the highest quality of care in a compassionate, healing space." And finally, I'd like to end this episode with a podcast recommendation. For anyone who watched Girl in the Picture on Netflix, a new podcast called Hello, John Doe delves into another one of Suzanne Savakis' siblings who went missing around the same time she did, when their mother met serial killer Franklin Delano Floyd. And this one has a North Carolina connection. Todd Matthews, who founded the Doe Network and passed away unexpectedly a few months ago, worked on this case and the show before his death. Here's the synopsis for the show. At age 45, Steve Patterson made a shocking online discovery, his own missing persons page. Desperate to uncover why he had been included on the list, Steve called Todd Matthews, a missing persons investigator, in search of answers. Together, Todd and Steve discover a sordid family past that includes long-lost relatives, kidnappings, and murders. It turns out that Steve was presumed dead because around the time he was born, his biological mother had married a serial killer who tore their family apart. Along the way, Steve would have to make sense of a personal story with more twists and turns than he'd ever imagined. In this 10-episode narrative series, Todd Matthews, an amateur sleuth from Tennessee, tells the story of a family torn apart by tragedy and his quest to bring them back together. From Revelations Entertainment, First and Last Productions, and Neon Hum Media, Hello John Doe is a winding, poignant tale that explores what it means to be lost and found. I've personally listened to this podcast and highly recommend all the work that Todd did on this case before his passing. I'll put a link in the show notes. This brings us to the conclusion of this episode of Missing in the Carolinas. If you enjoyed this episode, please do me a favor and give it a 5-star rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, so please like our pages and get started on a discussion of the missing people profiled on the show. Do you know of a missing persons case in North or South Carolina that you think should be covered? Email me at missinginthecarolinas@gmail.com with any details you can share. And don't forget to check out our sponsor, WOW Women on Writing, and the great programs and writing contests they have to support writers at wow-womenonwriting.com. Treat yourself to a skincare kit from SkinX Aaron with my code MissingCarolinas10. Cover art for this podcast was designed by Macintosh Multimedia. Sound editing is provided by Daniel Robertson. Thanks so much for listening.